Hello, and thank you for listening to Why Pray. I am your host, Nisha, and on this episode, we are learning and meditating on scriptures that can help strengthen our belief in Jesus during our times of trouble. We will also go over the training from God that comes from sincere believing, according to Charles Spurgeon's book, Prayer and Spiritual Warfare. And at the end of the episode, we will be praying together for Jesus to help us believe more and more each day. So let's just take a moment to inhale. Exhale. And say, thank you, Jesus. Let's just take another moment to inhale, exhale, and say, thank you, Jesus. Usually, our time of troubles are a call to believe. It is in these times when we have much access to activate our believing. The specific scriptures we are feeding our souls give us God's promises when dealing with troubles. Meditating, not mechanically memorizing, but truly receiving and meditating on these scriptures can help us really believe. These scriptures will help us understand how to shout for joy and sing hallelujah in the midst of our troubles. But there is a key to activating this genuine shout for joy and peace in the midst of a storm, and that is belief. The most important scripture in the Bible we can meditate on is by Jesus saying, be not afraid, only believe. Let's just take a moment to receive that scripture. Be not afraid, only believe. Inhale. Exhale. And say, thank you, Jesus. So let's begin meditating on the scriptures. Our first scripture is Acts 10:43. Through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Are you feeling ashamed? Do you get judged or condemned by others because of choices you have made? Have you been punishing yourself? Have I been punishing myself? Do I feel ashamed? Let us meditate on these words in our minds and hearts with sincerity. Through his name, Jesus, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. The history behind this scripture is the emphasis on the whosoever is very important, because these words come from Peter, who was an apostle who, after Jesus died, went to see a Gentile man by the name of Cornelius that had talked to God because he prayed continually. And God told Cornelius to get Peter so he could save his family. The Lord wanted to save Cornelius' family, but needed Peter's help in order to do it. So God gave Peter a vision that helped Peter not judge Cornelius because he was a Gentile. The Lord told Peter, what God has made clean, do not call common. When Peter obeyed and went to speak to Cornelius, he told Cornelius and the Gentiles that were his family gathered around him, through the name of Jesus, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. As soon as those words were spoken, the Holy Spirit came over them, and that day they were baptized. Chapter 11 is even more powerful. After the Gentiles are saved, Peter goes back to Jerusalem, and the Jewish believers who followed the law turn their noses up at the thought of those uncircumcised people being able to be saved. But Peter says, if then God gave the same gift to them as he gave to us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could stand in God's way? Let us meditate on these words in our minds and hearts with sincerity through the name of Jesus. Whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. We are free because we do believe. We have received remission through his name, Jesus. The second scripture we will meditate on is John 1 and 12. He gave the right, the authority, the privilege to become children of God. That is to those who believe in, adhere to, trust in, and rely on his name. Do you desire for blessings from God to pour into your life and onto your family? Do you need things to work out for your good right now, in this hour? Do you feel like you just need somebody you can trust? Meditate on these words in your mind and heart with sincerity. He gave the right, the authority, the privilege to become children of God. That is to those who believe in, adhere to, trust in, and rely on his name. We are children of the Most High God. We have the true authority. We have true privilege in Jesus' name. Let us meditate on these words in our minds and hearts with sincerity. He gave the right, the authority, the privilege to become children of God. That is to those who believe in, adhere to, trust in, and rely on his name. The history of this scripture is it's the first chapter to John, and it is a prologue that explains who Jesus is as a deity, telling us he is the Word that was made flesh, and we are given an oath to be able to bank on in our times of troubles that he will help us only if we believe. To all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Let us just meditate on this oath from God. Thank you, Jesus. Our next scripture is John 6 and 35. Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. The one who comes to me will never be hungry. And the one who believes in me as Savior will never be thirsty. For that one will be sustained spiritually." What is it that we're worried about? Is it our bills right now? Or things that we just need paid? Are we needing our health to increase? Do you feel like you have never have enough and you can barely make ends meet? Are you afraid your spirit and your finances will never sustain or increase? Are we worried about what will happen in our future? Let us meditate on these words in our minds and in our hearts with sincerity. Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." He says, "The one who comes to me will never be hungry." He says, "The one who believes in me as Savior will never be thirsty, for that one will be sustained spiritually." We need not be afraid. We will not go hungry. We will not thirst. We will not be left without. Every bill will get paid because Jesus is our bread of life. The history behind this scripture is when Jesus feeds the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And tells the multitude through this scripture, "I am the bread of life. The one who comes to me will never be hungry. And the one who believes in me as Savior will never be thirsty. For that one will be sustained spiritually." The last scripture that we will meditate on is Mark 9:23. Jesus says, "If you can, all things are possible for the one who believes and trusts in me." What is in your heart, but you are saying it is impossible to be done? Do you want nothing to be held back from you that is in God's will? Do you want God's plan for your life? What roadblock are we facing and dealing with right now? What is it that we're praying for that man's reason and logic says is impossible? Let us meditate on these words in our minds and hearts with sincerity. If you can, all things are possible for the one who believes and trust in me, says Jesus. We believe that all things are possible because we believe and trust in you, Jesus. This scripture, its history, is about a young boy's father who comes to Jesus to help him because his son is foaming at the mouth, and according to the Bible, the boy has an unclean spirit. When the father asked Jesus for help, Jesus told him, "If you can, all things are possible for one who believes." And immediately the man cried out, "I believe. Help my unbelief." Let us meditate on these words in our minds and hearts with sincerity. If I can, all things are possible for the one who believes and trusts in Jesus. If you can, all things are possible for the one who believes and trusts in me, says Jesus. So now before we close in prayer, we will go over the 6 things God teaches us very briefly to help train our believing according to Charles Spurgeon's book, Prayer and Spiritual Warfare. Number 1 is pray. First, in order for God to make us greatly useful, he must teach us how to pray. The man who is a great preacher and yet cannot pray will come to a bad end. A woman who is noted for her Bible teaching and yet cannot pray will also come to a bad end. If you cannot be great, If you can be great without prayer, your greatness will be your ruin. I'm going to say that again clearly. If you can be great without prayer, your greatness will be your ruin. If God means to bless you greatly, he will make you pray greatly, as he did with David, who said, "While in the cave, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication." Number 2 is always believe in God. It is easy to trust when you can trust yourself. But when you cannot trust yourself, when your spirit sinks below zero in the chill of utter despair, then it is time to trust in God. Number 3 is stand alone. If you want others to help you, then you will make a decent follower. But if you look to no man and can stand alone, God being your helper, you will make a good leader. Number 4 is delight in God. Until we make much of God, he will never make much of us. I'm going to repeat that. Until you make much of God, he will never make much of you. Number 5 is sympathize. David said in Psalms 14:26, "I am brought very low. Charles says, "My brother, who has entered the cave, and you, my sister, who has deep spiritual challenges, I want to comfort you by showing you that this is God's way of making something out of you. He is digging you out. You are like an old ditch that cannot hold any more, and God is digging you out to make room for more grace. His shovel will cut sharply as it digs up clump after clump and throws them aside. The very thing you would like to keep will be thrown away, and you will be hollowed out and dug out so that the word of Elijah may be fulfilled. Make this valley full of ditches, for this saith the Lord, you shall not see wind, neither shall you see rain, yet the valley shall be filled with water." That is 2 Kings 3:16 through 17. And the last point Charles gives us to remember in our training as we believe day to day is praise. If God is trying you in order to benefit you and afflicting you in order to promote you, may He give you grace to begin to praise Him. If you have a cheerful spirit, if you are glad in the Lord and joyful after all your trials and afflictions, and if you rejoice all the more because you have been brought low, the God is making something out of you. Let's close in prayer. In Jesus' name, Lord, we just come before you. In honor of your glory, O God, and all that you're doing in us right now. All that you're doing in us right now to just strengthen our belief in you, O Jesus. To just bring forth fruit of our spirit, O God. Oh, we thank you. We thank you, Lord God, for just removing each and every obstacle. We thank you, Lord God, for giving us our trials and afflictions that show us you are the bread of life and that we will not hunger or thirst. For if it were not for these afflictions and the troubles, how would we know how good you are, O God? So we thank you and we praise you and we give you love, O God, for the love that you've given us. Thank you for the power and strength for getting us through the midst of the storms. For though we are right now in the fiery furnace, Lord God, for though we are chained in the cell right now, Lord God, we will praise you. We will praise you and do as Paul did while he was in prison and help, Lord God, the inmates that are chained as we are and the guards, Lord God, that are in the jails with us, that they may receive the word of God. Because as you had did with Paul, you let Paul out, but he praised as he was chained. So as we are chained right now, let us just praise you, Lord God, because you're working through us right now to help someone else as we are in the furnace, Lord God. As Meshach and Abednego were, Lord God, you are with us, refining us. So we thank you, for we will come out the furnace not smelling like smoke, but we will shine like diamonds and be more valuable than gold. Oh, I thank you, Lord, for my trials and my tribulations right now and my afflictions, oh God, for believing in you has given me joy and peace and strength. We thank you, oh God. We thank you, Jesus, for forgiving us for our sins, for we are nothing without you. We thank you for forgiving us, for with you there is no condemnation. For the things that we have done and the choices that we have made with you, there's no condemnation. You will take our ashes and make them into something beautiful for your glory. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen.